Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're in the second hour now, broadcasting live from a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar here at the Schwann Center in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. Now, a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar includes a mix of both lay people and pastors. During this hour of the program, we're going to get the state of the church from a layperson's perspective. We have a roundtable here, our first roundtable. We're actually going to do it in shifts because of the, well, it's actually, we're limited by the number of microphones, I believe, that we brought along. So we're going to be talking with three individuals during this first half hour of this second hour of Issues, etc. And I'll be introducing them in just a second. You know, pastors, I'll tell you about what a typical pastor's conference is like. You go to a pastor's conference, regardless of the denomination, and you're going to get a lot of shop talk. You're going to have pastors talking about church. Their wives will be bored to tears, and the pastors will be talking business all day long. They bemoan the troubles in the church. They talk about where their church is headed, where their church once was. All of those things take place, and pastors tend to think about it as purely their concern. I have discovered in dealing with lay people over the last several years that the concerns that pastors have about their churches, about their congregations, about their denomination, are all shared by lay people. And in fact, sometimes the best perspectives, the best diagnoses of the problem or solutions for the problem come from the lay people themselves. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join this conversation and be part of the roundtable of lay people talking about the state of the church from a layperson's perspective, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest in this hour, we have three guests sitting across the table from here, from me here at the Schwann Center. Dr. Ann Driesnack joins us here. Bryce Hedstrom and Neil Bartlett also join us, three lay people. I'm going to ask you in turn to introduce yourselves, and then we'll get to some questions. Let's start with you, Dr. Driesnack. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I teach at the University of South Florida, and I am enjoying this marvelous seminar that we're having up here in Trago. I think particularly that your current issue of Issues, etc., is stunning, and maybe we'll have some time to talk about the theology of the cross.
Okay, good. If that's something you want to bring up as we talk about the church here, that's perfectly permissible. Bryce Hedstrom, tell us a little bit about yourself. What brings you here to a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar?
I'm a public school teacher in Loveland, Colorado. And I listen to Issues, etc., on the internet, and almost daily after school, I listen while I'm grading papers and things. And I've been listening to Issues, etc., for almost 3 years now. And I go to a Missouri Synod Church. I just want to learn more about the theology, more about worldview, but especially, I wanted to know more about how I can talk to my colleagues in the teacher's lounge so I can just communicate with them more effectively.
And Neil Bartlett also joins us here. Tell us about yourself. What do you do? Where are you from?
Well, I live near Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a writer at a financial services company in Madison. And we're joining the Lutheran Church, my family and me. And I started listening to Issues, et cetera, about 2 or 3 years ago, and it's had a big impact on me and my family. And I just wanted to learn more about the Christian worldview.
Do you listen via the internet or do you listen via radio station?
Internet.
Okay. That's good to hear, though. That's very good to hear. Let's start with you. Tell us a little. You say you're joining a Lutheran congregation. Tell us about your spiritual journey, if you will. Where have you been in the past?
Well, I've been a lot of different places. I think I've been in 3 or 4 or 5 different churches. I was confirmed in the United Church of Christ and married in Evangelical Covenant Church. I was involved with InterVarsity as a student, Baptist, Charismatic, Calvary Chapel. And somehow our kids were both baptized in an ELCA church. And my wife has a Lutheran background, and we kind of rediscovered it in the last couple of years.
Would you call yourself kind of the typical church shopper in the past, someone who's looking for something but not quite finding it wherever you land?
I don't think I'm atypical. I mean, I know other people that have been through even more churches than I have. And I would like to think I'm fairly typical. I think I am.
Bryce, tell us about your spiritual journey. Where have you been in the past?
I was raised a Lutheran, and then I kind of fell away from that, got into the charismatic movement, even went so far as to go into a charismatic Bible college in near Tulsa, Oklahoma, and kind of came out of that through evangelicalism and finally wound up in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And But I'm going through a struggle, having listened to Issues, et cetera, and read a lot of these authors that you've interviewed and talked about, that I see my church morphing back into the evangelicalism that I came out of. And so that's another reason, I suppose, that I'm here. I want to learn more about this kind of stuff.
And Dr. Driesnack, tell us, first of all, what do you do? What have you done? And then tell us about your past, your spiritual journey.
Well, I did originally teach at Bronxville at the LCMS school out east, and took it from a two-year to a four-year institution. And then I went ahead and got a doctorate at Columbia and went ahead and back to the Midwest to River Forest and taught there. Now I'm teaching at the University of South Florida near Tampa.
Have you been a Lutheran your entire life?
My entire life, thank goodness, yes.
All right, so we have kind of a variety of perspectives here. Let's get to the heart of this conversation, and that is the state of the church from a layperson's perspective. I know how I would diagnose the church in general from a pastor's perspective, and I can never really divest myself of that, no matter how often I sit in the pew and listen to my pastor preach. Let's start with you, if we could, Neil. How would you describe the state of the church in general from the perspective of a layperson?
Well, I guess it depends on which part of the church you're speaking of. A lot of the liberal church, I think, has kind of missed the message. I think a lot of evangelicalism is tending to capitulate to the culture and to the whatever's trendy right now. And I also see a lot of doctrinal shallowness. I've experienced some of that in some of the churches I've been in. And it can lead people astray, and I think what's needed are, you know, good, solid pastors who, you know, teach Holy Scripture, teach the Word and sacraments, and kind of keep people on the message.
So you see a deviation from the central message of the Christian faith being the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. As Craig Parton has said, one of the speakers here today, that the Lutheran Church gets the cross right. They keep the cross in the center of things, and that's what I've experienced too.
Bryce, tell us about how you would diagnose, you know, not only the weakness, but the strengths. How would you typify the state of the church today from a layperson's perspective?
I would say that there's lots of strengths going on right now, that especially in the evangelical world, there are a lot of people are concerned with the inerrancy of the Bible. They're excited about evangelism. They want to make Christianity relevant to the people around them and communicate with them somehow, but that can also lead to other problems. And
what's missing there? I mean, most people would hear that list and say fervor for evangelism, dedication to Scripture alone. That's good stuff. What's missing there, as far as you're concerned, from evangelicalism?
What's missing is the gospel. Is what's missing. There's plenty of law I'm seeing, but I just that paradigm, that law and gospel paradigm that you hear in classic Lutheranism is not around. You won't hear in a Christian bookstore. You won't hear on the radio. You know, I kind of made an interesting journey across the country. I went through, stopped at a couple big churches on the way out, and stopped at a friend's church in Illinois, and then came up to Wisconsin. And I just saw this whole wild mix of stuff as I came across the country. And what's missing is in so many of these churches is the gospel. We're getting ideas on how to be a better parent, how to be a better citizen, how to be a better husband, but I'm not forgiven in any of those things. I'm just condemned. That's to me, that's a big problem.
Dr. Driesnack, your assessment of the present day church from a layperson's perspective.
Well, in all of his fallen theologizing, man seeks but one thing for himself: the glory that belongs to God alone. And this is the theology of glory. And I just want to take a minute on this. Because Scripture tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it looks to death. The way that seems right to a man is the theology of glory. We are all natural-born theologians of glory. A theologian of glory believes that God's ways are, can be generally understood by human reason. And secondly, God's favor is manifested in the circumstances of life, in particular life's successes and victories. And thirdly, God is pleased by sincere human effort. But all the religions, this is where you got to be very careful, all the religions of the world, except for Christianity, are theologies of glory. Now, the theology of glory and the theology of the cross are mutually exclusive. They are two completely different ways of understanding God.
Now, you are very graciously quoting me in an article I just wrote.
You're irresistible.
Those are familiar words.
That's right.
You're reading from an article that I wrote for the latest issues, et cetera.
That's
journal,
right.
If I could plug it myself.
Well, you do such a good job in explaining what the problem is in the world.
Well, okay, but are you... What is, from the layperson's perspective, without quoting the host, please, what is the current state of Christianity today? Do you find it immersed in a theology of glory? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the danger is that all religions except our own, except Christianity, are immersed in the theology of glory, which is very, very dangerous and really can take us to death, whereas our hope is in the Christ, and so we need to think about the theology of the cross and lean totally on him for our salvation.
Neil, I saw you nodding your head a few minutes ago when Bryce was talking about law and gospel as something that was missing. In your experience, having come kind of through the circuitous route via through many churches to Reformation theology, do you have the same assessment that law and gospel is uncommon, that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching, outside of the Reformation theology?
Oh, definitely. It's just not there, and I don't think most of the pastors have been trained in it, so they don't know how to make the distinction between the two. I think the difficulty comes if you don't know that distinction, as you leave a service wondering, well, what do I need to do now? And you don't come away with any sense of forgiveness of sins. To me, that's the beauty of Lutheran worship, is it centers in the forgiveness of sins won for us by Christ, and the fact that he's done it all. That's the beauty of it.
I want to stay with you for a second. What about the importance of the laity being educated, not only from the pulpit, but in the life of the church in general, to know what theology is, to be able to be theologians themselves?
I think that's vital. Otherwise, there are so many false teachings today. There are so many different emphases out there that you can get led astray. The other problem is I think Lutherans are in danger of not appreciating their heritage and their history. And there's a danger when you're not into that, is you're focused on what's cool or what's relevant and what's, you know, what sells. And it's easy, I think, to kind of prostitute the church really in its message.
We're talking with a panel of lay people here. The first panel we'll have in this hour of Issues, Etc., as we talk about the state of the church from a layperson's perspective. If you'd like to join our conversation, our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. This first panel of three is made up of attendees here at the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Dr. Ann Driesnack is one of our guests, Bryce Hedstrom, and Neil Bartlett as well. Bryce, you said you had some time, raised as a Lutheran, you had some time kind of in charismatic circles, Bible college circles. Tell us about that in a little more detail. What attracted you to that?
What I liked about it was the life and the vitality of the people, just the friendliness, the outgoingness. They really cared about each other. They pray for each other at a drop of a hat. They'd spend time with each other. The Bible was extremely important to them, and I said, that's the kind of thing I want. I really, really like that, and I wasn't seeing a lot of that in my church, the church I grew up in, and I felt like these people must have the answer. But as I got more involved in it, I realized it was more and more authoritarian, more abusive, and It was causing more and more problems in my heart.
What do you mean by that, authoritarian and abusive? And speaking in particular, I'm assuming about kind of the charismatic circles.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, if I can tell an example that I did. I was sitting in class one time toward the end of my series of study, and one of the teachers was saying, if you have a problem, then just confess it away. Don't acknowledge it. Just believe that if you keep believing in the problem, it's going to be there. And I leaned over to a friend and I said, where I work, this is called being psychotic. And he stopped and he said, you there in the back. He goes, you are talking while I'm preaching. The Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. He said, if you are talking while you're here in Bible school, you get out in the field and people are going to be talking while you're trying to preach. And so I leaned over to my friend and I said, well, I guess we know what he did when he was in Bible college.
So he must have been talking about it.
But that's just an example of that heavy-handed, authoritarian, just super literalism when it's convenient, really started to make me question what was going on. And it took me several years to kind of work my way out of it.
There's something there you mentioned that I found intriguing, and that was you were being told that if you had a problem, a sin, struggling against something, to confess it away. What was meant by that? What were you being told to do?
That was, in this word faith theology that sin doesn't really exist, your problems really don't exist, you don't have a problem, you just need faith in God. And if you just will confess it, confess God's word, or give your positive confession, they called it, then all your problems will be gone. You can get them away, and you can manipulate reality so that it can work in your favor. And I found that didn't work in my life. That especially when times got tough, it was harder and harder to believe that.
Dr. Driesnack, you are an educated layperson.
That's right. My doctorate's in Columbia.
And you have all not only educated yourself, but you have taught lay people. What is the value of the laity in any church? Not only being well-educated, well-rounded, but also being well-educated in the particulars of their faith, in church history, in theology, in the confessions of their church.
Well, so they can be effective members of the voters' body, so that they can make the decisions for their church and their congregations. They have to know about the Book of Concord. They have to know about the confessions. They have to know about sanctification. And then when you have a well-educated congregation, as fortunately we do in Florida, it's thrilling because you can take on a lot of very heavy situations. For example, this theology of the glory thing, when you get mixed up, as the East did recently with the after the post 9/11 situation and the Yankee Stadium debacle, clearly people were mixing theology of glory people, Islam, Hindus, Muslims, with Christians, and it simply will not do.
What about the laity being able to hear preaching and teaching and hold their pastors in a loving way, hold their pastors accountable for what's being taught and preached?
When they are preaching well and doing as they are trained, you don't have to hold them accountable because they are preaching the word, and that is what they're there for. They understand their call, the sacraments, the word. And I think most of our men, the Lutheran churches, whether it's ELS, WELS, or Missouri Synod, I think they do a stunning job. And I think our seminaries do, too.
Is it necessary for the lay people, however, to be prepared when a pastor does not teach or preach according to God's word?
Yes, I think so. I think they have to be ready to go through the proper channels, which would be their voters' assembly, and possibly their elders, and discuss it.
We're talking with a panel of lay people here about the present state of the church from a layperson's perspective. You can join us as well at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Alan, who's calling from Austin, Texas. Alan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Alan.
I think in the state of the church as a whole, one of the problems is, you know, that it's lost its focus on the Word of God, which teaches that there is a real hell, you know, that every person deserves to be in hell, and that the only salvation from that is in the gospel, you know, in the fact that Christ shed his blood for the sins of every person. And that gospel has has been compromised and actually just totally thrust off in many parts of the church. And when I've shared the frustration in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, in the town that I live in, there's only one congregation that really understands that, you know, it is the gospel that works salvation, and it's the only way to salvation, the only means of salvation. And,
Alan, thank you very much for the call. With the few minutes that we have before we go to this break, your response one by one here, he basically said that there is a de-emphasis in the church today upon, I think, sin, and then its real consequence, which is death and eternal damnation. Is that your sense as well, Neil?
Yes, and I don't think it's limited to just the Missouri Synod. I see even more of that actually in evangelicalism. I see a lot of emphasis on moralism and on people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps in order to get right with God. And it's a problem. And the law needs to be preached, and then the gospel needs to be taught and delivered.
Bryce, what about you? You have seen the other side of the coin as well. What about the teachings of sin and its natural consequence?
Well, I think Alan was right that it's sin is not being emphasized, because sin is not going to pack the people into the church. It's not going to bring in the thousands of people you need to get the millions of dollars of donations to build giant, ever bigger and bigger mega churches. And you have to preach a happy, happy, happy message all the time to get get the people coming, so they think.
With less than a minute here, Dr. Driesnack, this brings us back around to law and gospel, the preaching of law before the gospel is preached. From the layperson's perspective, how necessary is this for you as a layperson?
It's extremely important to hear the law, because you need to be reminded of your sin. And then you can go to the gospel for the forgiveness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Dr. Andriessnak, thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Thank you for being here.
And Bryce Hedstrom, thank you as well for being part of the roundtable.
Thanks.
And also Neil Bartlett, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, when we started Issues Etc., I was not a part of this. I was serving a congregation someplace. But when Issues Etc. started about 10 years ago with a theological emphasis, we were told by several that you can't teach lay people theology, and that to do it really was be wasting your time anyway. Quite to the contrary, the necessity not only of what we're doing here on Issues Etc., trying to teach the laity theology, but what the church ought to be doing, educating its people in the particulars of the Christian faith, in Christian history, in the Christian confessions, in worldviews that are contrary to the Christian faith, is all not only, it's not a luxury, it's not something that we do because we have time to do it or because we have a little extra money in the budget. It is the heart and core of what the Christian faith is. One need go no farther than Deuteronomy, where at the very inception of God's people in the Old Testament, there is an admonition to continue to teach the instruction, the word, the admonition of the Lord, the promises of God, the covenant of God, not only from father to son down through families, but for this to be the heart and center of God's people as well. If the church does not educate its laity, does not continue to instruct people in the Christian faith, well, that church can go wherever it wants to, teach whatever it wants to, and if it does that long enough, it won't be saving people anymore. We'll be right back with another panel of lay people talking about the church.
Radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Wouldn't it be great if we went through life without any problems? Well, that's just not the way things are. Life can get tough, but we can face whatever comes along with peace and confidence, because there is reason for hope. We're your neighbors, the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we'd like you to know that with Christ, there's plenty of hope to go around.
A message from your friends at Issues Etc.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. A leading child psychologist recently said the interest many boys have in violence is harmless. Should parents stop fretting about their boys' fascination with war games, wrestling, and fantasy play? Stuart Shepherd reports.
Child psychologist Michael Thompson recently told a gathering of librarians, quote, "We have to stop wringing our hands about the media and boys' violence." He said society has overreacted. If you're looking for boys on a playground, it's generally where the loudest noise is.
You just push a button and it makes noise.
Jamie and Cindy Phillips from Spirit Lake, Iowa, have two girls and two boys. They say boys are naturally different.
Action, I mean, they always seem to have a lot more activity. They always want to run or do something.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of you know, the letting them be more ornery. It's just that the girls aren't, you know. The boys just come by it naturally.
I would agree that boys need to be allowed to roughhouse. They need to be allowed to do masculine things.
But Focus on the Family psychologist in residence Bill Meyer says some cultural influences are harmful and should be avoided, and that includes media violence.
Boys who consume a steady diet of violent media, particularly violent video games, tend to have less empathy for the suffering of others. In other words, when they see a human being suffer, they're not bothered by it.
He says give boys latitude to play hard, but draw the line at harmful media. For Family News in Focus, I'm Stuart Shepherd.
Dr. Myers says there's been a 30-year effort by some in academia to feminize boys based on the notion that boys and girls are basically the same. He says research shows boys are wired differently, and efforts to quash those impulses are counterproductive. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 Friday on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We'll talk with Dr. Randy Tobler. Richmond Center OBGYN is his place, our medical expert. We'll talk about what the high cost of malpractice insurance for doctors will mean eventually to us. We'll talk about hormone replacement therapy and whatever else is on your mind. It's Ask the Expert on the next Midday Living Jubilee at 11:05.
In today's fast-paced business world, where compromise is easy, where can we turn for practical and moral guidance? Find out with a book, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Christian Ethics in the Workplace is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040. You can find out more about this book on the internet, issuesetc.org, and click What's New, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is halfway through a roundtable discussion. We've actually changed the table, changed the panel of lay people. We're going to continue the discussion along the same vein, talking about the state of the church from a layperson's perspective, people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, different vocations. Everyone is a theologian. Everyone is a theologian. The only question is whether or not you're a good or a bad theologian. The good theologian, well, his theology matches and follows the contours of God's Word. A bad theologian deviates from the Word of God, but everyone is a theologian. There are professional theologians, people who have gone to college and seminary to learn theology and learn to articulate it, and learn to teach it and write about it. But everyone, regardless of whether or not they've had that education, is still a theologian. It really has to do with following the contours of God's Word. That's why we're going to be talking with lay people here for the next 25 minutes of Issues, etc., lay theologians as well. In the third hour of the program, I do want to remind you that we'll be talking with Craig Parton. He will join us. He's been a busy man today making presentations here at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar. We'll be talking to him about modern-day pietism in the third hour of the program. And tomorrow on the program, a two-hour discussion with Pastor Tom Baker on repentance. For law and gospel fans, you will want to tune in 2 hours early to hear an additional 2 hours of Tom Baker as he holds forth in a discussion with me on repentance. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Feel free to join us with those phone numbers. We are coming to you live this Thursday, the 26th of June, from the Schwann Center here in Trago, Wisconsin, a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. My guests sitting in front of me here across the table, I'll take them one by one, find out who they are a panel of lay people. We'll begin here with Ed DeVera. Ed, who are you? Where are you from? Tell us about what you do.
I live in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and listen to the Sunday night show on KKMS. I'm a delivery driver. So.
And Alan Rance, tell us about yourself. Where are you from, and what do you do?
I am associate professor, School of Dental Medicine, Alton, Illinois, SIU.
Okay, so you're from near from the St. Louis area there.
I am.
Okay. And then finally, Nick Sandman. Tell us a little bit about what you do, where you come from.
I'm from Juanita, Nebraska, and I listen to Issues, Etc., same time as, well, actually, I'm in the Mountain Time Zone. And so Issues, Etc. is on 5 days a week, even in the Mountain Time Zone. Even though we're sort of on the edge and have to listen to a bit of static, it's well worth it.
You're listening on our sister station up there at KNGN.
On KNGN, Kansas, Nebraska, good news.
What do you do, Nick?
I'm a farmer, and I'm also a rail mail carrier.
Okay. Do you happen to listen in your combine at any time? I've heard about farmers listening to the program in their combine, getting better reception than in their truck or in their house.
Oh, that would be nice if my combine had a radio, but I don't. I listen to KNGN on the mail route in the car where I deliver mail. So I do that in the morning and hear the Bible study, for instance.
Tell us about your spiritual journey. Where have you been up to this point? What brings you to a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar?
Well, for a farmer, this is pretty crazy to leave my wheat. It's wheat harvest, unless it's rained quite a bit since I've been gone. I hope there's still a wheat harvest when I get home soon. And But we teach our children at home, and this seemed like an excellent lineup and a good way to work on their theological education, as I take seriously what the Small Catechism tells us.
I think you told me in a previous conversation we had off the air that you were a former Assemblies of God. Is that correct?
At one time, yes. I was associated with Assemblies of God. I was baptized, actually, at the age of 13 in the Methodist Church. So, as I said, I was brought up as a Baptist in the Methodist Church. But I was with the Assemblies of God when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then we attended a Christian and Missionary Alliance church.
What brought you to Reformation theology?
Well, I listened to the radio, Issues, Etc. Actually, I had a great part in that. And I also read a lot of things. One of the books that was offered way back was the Book of Concord, and also The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel by C.F.W. Walther. And I set off for those, read them, and became convinced that this, what the Lutheran Church has, is the true exposition of God's Word.
Alan, tell us about your spiritual journey. How have you come to where you are now and your understanding of Reformation theology?
I was a baptized Baptist. Went for decision theology. I'd say I grew into Lutheranism over time, but have come to appreciate the programming on this radio station, in particular Issues and also Law and Gospel. I found a greater depth here. I did read the book Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Veith, and I found that to be very helpful as well.
And Ed, tell us about how you have come to this place where you are theologically.
Well, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist for many years, and I just got kind of burnt out, had sort of a cultic experience in that church. And then thankfully I didn't toss out Christianity after I left that church and sort of became an evangelical and went to some non-denominational churches. And then I heard this show on the radio called The White Horse Inn in L.A., and was very influenced by Mike Horton and Rod Rosenblatt, And they encouraged me to study Reformation theology for myself, Calvinism and Lutheranism, comparing them side by side. And so I did that, especially studying the sacraments, proper distinction between law and gospel, and sort of studied my way into the Lutheran faith.
Did you have some, if I'm not mistaken, some exposure to the Calvary Chapel experience out on the West Coast? Is that true?
Yes, just very briefly, just for like less than a year.
What did you find there? What was that like?
Well, it was very much like the Jesus movement of the late 60s, early 70s. Plenty of praise music, and sort of a preaching that kind of emphasizes a lot of law continuously throughout for the Christian.
Let's turn to the heart then of our conversation here. What would you say is the state of the church, as you surveyed in general terms? What is the state of the church from the layperson's perspective, from your perspective?
The church needs a reformation. The church needs to get back to what it's about, law and gospel. Understanding what the Bible is about, and that's a good start.
How do you think that? How would you picture that taking place? That kind of reformation, as you call it.
Well, if pastors would simply preach the law for the purpose of bringing Christians each and every week to understand their need of Christ. And then preaching the gospel, giving them the forgiveness of their sins, and not withholding that from them. I think evangelical Christians are very burdened by the sort of diet they get in their sermons and in the books they read, and they really need to hear that the gospel is still for them, and that the forgiveness of sins is for them in their struggles and in their failures.
Sounds very much like the diagnosis that Luther had at the time of the Reformation for the church. He said, look, what we're really aiming at is just to have the Word of God rightly preached, that it would be rightly divided between law and gospel, that the gospel would prevail, and that people would have no hope in their own efforts, their own merits, but find it totally in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Sounds like we're in the same state today.
Yeah, I would agree.
Alan, for you, how would you assess the state of the church from your perspective, from the layperson's perspective?
I would say that there's inadequate emphasis of the gospel. The law is preached over the gospel. Or I hear sermons that start out law, maybe there's a hint of gospel, but then they turn the gospel into law.
What does that leave you with when you hear a sermon like that? From the perspective of the pew, where are you left?
That leaves you empty, that leaves you wandering, that leaves you no comfort.
And Nick, your assessment of the church from the layperson's perspective.
Well, when I came into the church, I guess I'm still working on my testimony. I've, you know, had many years of working on my testimony, but the church is the body of Jesus Christ. That's not changing all that much. That's my hope, and I want to be connected in with that here, in this life. That's what I need, is the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. And that's what I find here, for the most part. Really.
We're talking with some lay people here about the state of the church from their perspective. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The voice you just heard was that of Nick Sandman. He's a wheat farmer out in western Nebraska. There is Alan Rance, who's sitting across here as well. He is an instructor in dentistry, if I'm not mistaken, in Alton, Illinois. And you're going to have to tell me where you're from again, Ed. Ed DeVera, where is it you're from again?
Well, specifically from Burnsville, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Twin Cities.
Now, let's talk about the importance of lay people being theologically astute, being able not only to understand theology, but to do theology. Let's begin with you, Ed.
Well, I think it's important that we learn how to interpret the Bible rightly before we attempt to do evangelism. We have to get it right before we get it out. And we have to also be able to understand all the different worldviews that we're surrounded by, whether they're world religions or things like postmodernism.
There are people within the church who would say, look, if we take the effort to get it right before we get it out, we'll never get it out because we can never get it all right, therefore we'll never do any evangelism. How do you respond to someone who says that? Because you said in order to get it out, we need to get it right first.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to take a whole lot of time. Just study Luther's small catechism and just learn how to rightly divide law and gospel. If you don't want to make the law more doable, and you don't want to make the gospel something that is demanding, that's one way to sort of keep things simple. And the gospel is simply the forgiveness of sins, justification by grace through faith on account of Christ.
Alan, your perspective on an educated laity.
I see a need for proper distinction of law and gospel, and here, this is where my initial orientation is that, you know, the Bible is about us and what we are to do for God, rather than looking at it as what God has done for us through Jesus Christ.
So you're saying there was a time when you understood Scripture to be kind of a rule book for God-pleasing living?
I looked at parables as Aesop's fables and lessons in moralism.
What's changed for you now? How do you look at God's Word differently?
Now I see Jesus Christ as the central character of the Bible and the actor.
I see you shaking your head there, Nick. You resonate with what he's saying there?
Oh, yes. That's it's such a... To me, on first hearing and understanding this, the proper division of God's Word is in law and gospel. And in those two categories, God's Word is comprehended. And it's what a novel concept to most people, even Christians. There's a good deal of false teaching about that, and I think that that's a message that really needs to be sent out and brought out with understanding. I'm very grateful for what you're doing here.
Ed, do you see in your time kind of wandering through evangelicalism a bit out of the Seventh-day Adventist, with the emphasis there very strongly on the law, did you see that big of a difference between Seventh-day Adventism and American evangelicalism with regard to its emphasis on living a God-pleasing life?
Well, Adventism was worse. Actually, when I came out of Seventh-day Adventism, fundamentalism was like a breath of fresh air. But the last few years, especially, as I understand what exactly pietism is, turning inward and being preoccupied with sanctification. Sanctification is good, but it comes through the gospel as well. It doesn't come through always dwelling upon how I'm doing, what it is I've got to do, all the minutia of the Christian life.
Let's take a phone call here from another layperson who'd like to join the conversation. Bill from Los Alamos, New Mexico, listening on the Internet at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, good afternoon. You're talking, it seems, generally about the state of the church as seen from the inside. I would like to ask how they view the state of the church in regards to what might be viewed as outside, that is, we call it outreach. And in view of, let's just ask it this way, what is the appropriate means or methods of outreach I'll just leave it at that.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Let's start with you, Nick. The appropriate means of outreach from the outsider's perspective.
From the outsider's perspective, well, I think that there is really a worldview problem in approaching someone. This is that the way the schools and the culture looks at this is that Christianity is another option, one among many, and that religion itself and theology is just another niche of understanding that one may optionally use. But really the only important, or certainly the most important relationship that we do have is our relationship with God. And I would say that everyone has a relationship with God as his creature, and that God came in his Son Jesus Christ to die for everyone. So to reject him, not to know him, that certainly is a great issue in everyone's, and an unavoidable issue in everyone's life. And what we have is the gospel that God freely accepts us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that needs to be heard by everyone.
Your response to the same question, Alan, from the outsider's perspective, what is the proper means of outreach?
The proclamation of the gospel. We preach Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ coming again.
How do you respond to somebody who says, look, we got no problem with the Jesus thing, but we prefer to present Jesus as kind of the moral teacher, the helper, the therapist, and we'll get to the crucifixion later. That tends to turn people off, that kind of bloody scene, all the sin, all the punishment. What do you say to that?
You cannot save yourself. You've got to look at the cross. It's the lens through which we see. Otherwise, there's despair.
Ed, how would you respond to the same person who says, look, Paul says I preach Christ and him crucified, but we've decided at our church to take the cross out because the seeker walks in and gets offended by that immediately. We've decided at our church to present Jesus, the benefits of knowing Jesus, not so much as Savior, but as Lord first. And then later, after people have kind of bought into the whole, I'd like to know this Jesus guy, then we'll talk about Christ and him crucified. That's how some people are doing outreach.
Well, the cross is simply how we're saved. We are saved by the blood of Christ. It's the most important thing. We don't want to get caught up in peripherals. You know, the church is not just a club where you go to hear a pep talk. We have to let people know what their real need is, what the big question of life is, how are we to be saved from the wrath of Almighty God, and that's through the cross, it's through Jesus.
You were chiming in there, Nick.
Yeah, in my little account of the Christian worldview, as I understand it anyway, I did leave out a pretty important point, and that is the problem of sin. You know, we are God's creatures. He created us without sin in Adam. However, Adam was a long time ago, and he fell. And so our great problem is sin, which is an attitude of disobedience to God, which results in actual disobedience to God. And it's only through Christ that we can be acceptable to God.
One more time down the line here with one final question, very brief answers if we could. What do you expect from your church and from your pastor on Sunday morning as a layperson?
Well, I expect to hear that my sins are forgiven, and pronouncing the absolution, and the rightly dividing law and gospel, and to receive the body and blood of Christ as well.
Alan, what do you expect from your church and from your pastor?
I look for confession. I look for forgiveness of sin. I look for the means of grace, word and sacrament.
And Nick, finally, the same question to you.
Well, that's exactly what I think the church is about here. We're here to hear God's word of truth, His grace and forgiveness in Christ, and that's to receive His the means that He has given us, all of them.
Nick Sandman, thank you very much for being on our panel of lay people here on Issues, Etc. Alan Rance, as well to you, thank you. And Ed DeVera, thank you very much for being on our panel.
Thank you.
A lot has been said in this whole hour about rightly dividing the Word of God. This isn't an academic pursuit. Pastors are not taught to rightly divide God's Word, law, and gospel simply to get it right, or simply because that's the way that the Word of God makes the most sense. God's Word can be misused. Otherwise, there's no sense in Paul's admonition to Timothy to rightly use it. It can be misused. The greatest danger to the church, be it at the time of the Reformation, be it 100 years ago, be it today, be it 100 years from now, the greatest danger to the church, and that is to say, to the very salvation of Christians and those who have not yet heard of Christ, the greatest danger is that the church retain the Word of God but misuse it, misapply it, misunderstand it. See, then the church can stand before the world and still say, well, we've got the Bible, but now we've modified our message to be a little more in line with what you, the culture, say we ought to be saying. What falls by the wayside? A clear proclamation against sin, the condemnation of sin, the clear portrayal that sin has its consequence in not only temporal death but eternal death. What else falls by the wayside? The central teaching of the Christian faith, that is, Christ and Him crucified for the sins of the world, raised from the dead and coming again. That's what falls by the wayside. Now, if a church forfeits this and begins to mishandle the Word of God, then this church becomes useless. I think this is precisely what Jesus was saying when He says, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing. The church may be full, the parking lot may be packed. People may be praising your programs from Sunday until Sunday. But if the church has lost its saltiness and its flavor, that is the flavor of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's a bit bitter for the world to hear that they need a Savior from their sin and that God has provided that Savior in the person of His Son incarnate in human flesh who died on a cross and shed His blood for sin and rose again. It's a bit bitter for the world to hear that, but the world needs to hear it. It is the only flavor that God has given His church. Without it, we are useless. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.